This week's podcast is brought to you by Ellington Detailing, located on West Gum Street in Marion. Stop by and see our buddy Rommel.
The Rockets host homecoming Friday night at Rocket Stadium. Webster County's Trojans roll in here fresh off their first victory of the season. Last week, the Trojans won at home for the first time in more than 2 years. Beat Clinton County in a pretty dramatic fashion at the end of the game, 39-32 victory. The Trojans are a team that we have typically had our way with. We've won seven in a row. 28-13 is the series record, so that's a team that we've, like I said, we've just kind of had our way with and hadn't created a whole lot of problems for us. Today, Coach Starnes is on the road. He is actually out of town and will not be back till pretty close to game time on Friday, and we can't work out anything to do our podcast with him by phone, so I've brought in a very special guest, Mike Crabtree, one of the voices of the Rockets. He and Zach Greenwell do the play-by-play and commentary every Friday night. So Mike has a unique perspective on the Rockets. He observes week after week. And, of course, Mike was a member of that famous 1985 state championship team. And we don't like to bring that kind of stuff up very often, but it is a matter of something we all are very proud of still.
You know, I've said this very many times. I really wish that another team could experience that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's a once-in-a-lifetime deal. We didn't realize what it was. But, you know, one of the things of being around this community and being able to be a Little League coach, the kids that we're watching play on Friday night, most of the time we've had the opportunity to work with those guys.
To coach them, I know.
And so you have a little more of a rapport with those guys, and you kind of know where they're going. We knew going into this season that we were smaller than we had been. Our linemen were we didn't have those senior linemen that had been in and out ever since they were freshmen. So we knew we were going to struggle. You and I were talking a while ago. The first two games of this year, we thought, you know, we gave those games away. We had a good chance to win them, and things didn't go our way. Last week, Caldwell, we knew what we had going into it. This week, we got Webster County. Webster County, they had a lot of problems keeping their coaches. It seems like every time they get on a roll and things start looking up, their coach leaves on them. Mm-hmm. Like you said, we've handedly beat them year in and year out. This isn't a regular year. I look for this to be a pretty good game tomorrow night.
I think it's going to be a ball game. Like I said, Webster County's coming off their first win at home last week. And Clinton County wasn't a bad football team. The team they beat, Clinton County was averaging somewhere 47, 48 points a game going into that game and scored a lot of points at Webster. But Webster answered the bell every time. They've got a really good quarterback over there, Drew Skinner. He can run. He's their leading rusher, or he was. He may not be now. I'll look at their stats here in a second. I believe the running back actually went ahead of him. But he can throw the ball. He threw for 150-some-odd yards last week. And also, I think it's 174 yards he threw for last week against Clinton County. And then also they rushed for 325-30 yards last week as a team. So this is a formidable offense. And like you said, you know, we won our first game at Todd Central, and the Rockets were proud to get out of there with a win,
right?
Because it could have gone another way. And then we lose a very, very difficult game at Hopkins Central, which is another team that we have owned over the years. First time this year was the first time we ever lost to them in regular season. And that game got away from us. There was a call, a controversial call, that later the officials fessed up, said that they made the mistake, which may have cost the game. But one play never, you know, certainly shouldn't have.
At least they stuck
game.
With the call.
At least, yeah, instead of changing it like we saw against McLean County. And that game was a perfect storm. Things were just crazy in it. And as you mentioned, you know, Caldwell County has gotten to the point that they are just so much better than we are, 49-0 last week. And I don't know that they're 49-0 better than us, but they've got us fooled to thinking that at this point.
And you said it, we had talked about it. That's probably one of the best at that time was 0-3 teams that you're going to play.
Yeah.
But their program has done great things from the bottom all the way to the top. They've got so many other extra athletes and all. But getting back to our game this week, you know, we've got a sophomore class that has a lot of key roles on this football field, this football team. And when you're relying on underclassmen to take leadership roles, that's a little tougher. Mm-hmm. But one of the other things that people don't take into consideration is we've got the week of homecoming. And it's a nightmare for a head coach and his coaching staff because your kids are preoccupied all week long. And keeping them focused and getting ready for a ball game, that's a tough thing to do.
Yeah, a lot of distractions. Of course, we're recording on Thursday and the Powder Puff event tonight. So, you know, the kids, that's something that's turned into just a huge, huge event. The stadium will be packed, and I know they'll probably knock football practice off early today because you got the parade. And then they go to Powder Puff. So your Thursday, your special teams, general special teams practice day is gone. And I don't know what they worked up with Coach Starnes being gone this week as well. Of course, he's been delegating much of the authority out much more so in the last two or three years than ever before. So I don't think it's as big a thing with him being gone as it may have used to have been.
You know, he's coming to the end of his coaching career probably. You know, I mean, he's getting ready. He can start thinking about retirement. I think that's very smart to start passing that power down to the people that you hope that will replace you. So him being gone, I think, is just what you say. It's not as a big a thing what it would have been 10 years ago. But we're plagued with injuries. That one game where everybody was messed up with their knees and going on with concussion last week. I commented on the radio with Cody. Man, he was coming in nice and low and wrapping up, but when you do that and you're heading away, then you get a helmet or a knee to the helmet. And I think he had a pretty rough concussion, was playing a really hard, good game.
And yeah, he was. And it earned that starting spot when Paxton Riley had gone out. When Jacob Russellburg had gone out. And he's really been doing a good job. And he will be out again this week. Looking at this team, Mike, from your perspective up in the booth every Friday night, and then what you hear, being the barber in town, you get to hear a lot of comment from those Rocket fans who go to the game. Who is the leader on this team? I mean, we know Ethan Hunt is a silent leader. He leads by his actions. He's the guy that's number one in the state in Class A in receiving, doing an excellent job. But who are you hearing? What are the other names of the kids you're hearing about?
You know, Dickerson is a name that comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. Dickerson does a lot on their team. Hunter has got to step up in that role. His mother being a coach and his father being a little league coach and a player actually was one of mine and your players, I think, whenever you first moved here.
Yeah.
And now we're looking at his kids playing.
Yeah.
You know, Hunter's got to step up. I think he's doing a better job of that. I'm hearing that more. Chris, I don't know. I don't know who that – I think that's a problem that this team has. We don't have a lot of upfront leadership that you get with a big senior class. Mm-hmm. Who would you say?
Well, I think you've hit it right on the head. I mean, I think Ethan Hunt is a leader. And what I see on the sidelines, oddly enough, I think some of these younger guys are the leaders. Hunter is still not you know, he's a sophomore.
He's going through growing pains.
That's right. And he's not the guy that he will be in 2 years, but he is a leader. There's no question he's a leader on his team. I think he does handle himself very well on the field.
Yes, sir.
He comes off the field, but he kind of stands over by himself a lot of times, which it's kind of like a pitcher in baseball. I think you go to the dugout and you sit down and in between your pitching duties and you kind of clear your head. You know, during the game, I see Dickerson. I see a couple of other kids that really come to mind is Charlie Johnson. I mean, Charlie's a senior, and no matter what's going on in the game, Charlie's not getting a whole lot of snaps. He's getting more now that we've had some injuries, but he, you know, on the sideline, Charlie's always into the game. He's one of those guys. He's not standing back there somewhere chewing on a mouthpiece. He's paying attention to what's going on, ready for his number called to go on the field. But I think Charlie is one that you have to look at. Gavin Dickerson, certainly. He on and off the field, you see people turning to him when they get if they have a timeout. You know, he's always the one that's is talking to his teammates, telling suggesting things that they might do. I think Gavin is certainly going to be a great player here. And you know, there are two or three others, the young ones, I think, that we're going to be able to see later on that are going to become leaders.
You've got Beavers, Adam Beavers, who's went to a tackle on offense. He's still playing the outside.
And Adam's quiet, too.
And I was going to say, he's very quiet, but does a great job on the field. Probably one of the better players we have out there. So, I mean, you know, but for a standout leader, we don't see that with this bunch right now.
And, you know, that's something we need. And just like you alluded to, the quarterback is the guy on every team. By default, you're the leader. Now, whether that role fits you or not, you've got to wear it.
You've got to be in control in the huddle. When people start mouthing, you've got to stop it right there and say, hey, no, we're playing ball. And, you know, that has to be one of those positions, and we're relying on these younger kids to do it. You know, Webster County, we come up, they've been we call them a rivalry. You and I were talking about the rivalry thing. I can't say it right now. It's kind of went away. We don't have that like we used to. Mm-hmm. You know, Friday night, that was a very gentleman-like game, even though we got monkey stomped, but... You know, it was still a very gentleman-like game. The week before, not so much. But
And just to update everyone on the latest from the KHSAA, there is no latest from the KHSAA. Of course, last week, McLean County self-imposed some games, set some kids out for the game. I think they had three starters and about 20 other kids that they had withheld from the game. And by all indication, that is going to be sufficient, unless something comes up that we don't know about. I know I've heard from pretty good sources that McLean County continues to push for some extra sanctions against Crittenden County, as well as I think Crittenden County's lobbying that maybe some of the head coach at McLean County may have overstepped his bounds coming across the field, but I think after reviewing the rules, that's all been rectified, and basically you can do that. You know, if you think your team is going to the other sideline, you can go get your players, and so you know, there's still a cloud for some reason hanging on this. There's still a lot of unanswered questions. Everywhere I go, people ask what's the latest, but as it appears right now, they're probably will not be further sanctions.
They're okay with what's happened.
I think so.
You know, how it's been taken care of. Mm-hmm. You know, I said this on the radio even that night. There's a line there. You're taught from Little League all the way through high school, don't let somebody abuse one of your teammates. Mm-hmm. You have to stand up for them. And it got taken past that line a little bit a couple times out there. And the referees, we just didn't have control of that game. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it wasn't like that any other game we played this year.
No. And I think our kids were under control. And that's why I believe it's over.
We're done. Yeah.
I believe it's over. Let's take a look, a little closer look at Webster County. I've pulled up their statistics here, and the quarterback, Drew Skinner, still is their leading rusher. So he's their guy. He's rushed for 216 yards in their three games. Their running back, Trevor Whitledge, like I said, had a big game last week, and he has 173 yards total rushing. And like I believe most of that came last week against Clinton County. Skinner has thrown the ball 62 times. He's completed 30 and thrown three interceptions. He has 15 touchdown passes, and he's thrown for 500 yards. So he's very capable. They've got three or four guys that can catch the ball. They've proven that. Peyton Yates has a dozen catches, and Grant Carter has 11. Clayton Oliver has 9, and a couple other kids have one apiece. So they've got three kids that are catching the ball, and that makes a big difference. You know, I think that's right now is one of the Achilles' heel of our team is we've got one guy that's catching the ball, and defenses know that. It doesn't take a defense coordinator very long to look at our film and say, we got to stop 24, and we've done our job for the day.
We stopped 24. We rushed the quarterback. We put so many
pressure
right in the middle.
Yep.
That's a weak spot that we've got. I talked to Adam Beavers this week, actually this morning, and he was telling me they've worked on that all week long, mm-hmm. of getting more protection in the middle And, you know, they know that we don't have a very good run game right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so what are you going to do? You're going to load everybody up and try to shoot that middle mm-hmm. over top of our center. And then that's what people are being doing effectively, and they're working on that. Mm-hmm. But you can't go to one guy all the time. You've got to spread it out a little bit. And Hunter, he's not underthrowing. He's overthrowing everybody.
Down the field.
Down the field. We're a step away from catching balls. I mean, they're right at the edge of the fingertips.
And how much of that, Mike, do you see is our receivers are maybe not trusting their route, not trusting their athleticism, not just taking off and running under a ball? It appears to me sometimes they want to stop and look back and pause.
They're not going after the ball. That's one thing we see upstairs. The other thing I see is they're not being, when they get bumped and they get blocked, when they come off the line, instead of fighting through that and moving on down the field and continuing their route, they're allowing themselves to get hung up in that. Now the route's off. The ball's already in the air.
Yeah.
You've got to be there. And that's something I think they need
more physical.
Yes, we're not physical enough, and we're not going after the ball. You know, how many times have we seen a ball, we said that was catchable, but we quit running our route and we just didn't go after it.
And certainly Hunter has displayed the fact that he can throw the ball. He's got an arm.
He's got a cannon.
He does. And we're, you know, as we progress, because this appears this is going to be our offense that we're going to run, hopefully we'll develop more guys that can hang on the ball.
He's getting tougher too. We see, you know, he's taking some licks back there. But he's getting a lot tougher as a quarterback.
All right. Well, this has been a unique perspective. I appreciate you filling in for Coach Starnes today, and always glad to get someone else's viewpoint on how the Rockets look, and you have a very, very good observation point to bring that to us. Look forward to Friday night and homecoming game. Come out to the game early for the crowning of the Queen. That generally starts around 6:30. Kickoff is at 7:00.